This, it comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to see these bones and to say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy for the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. That when I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord."
And the second reading is John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, but for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also now known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she had got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man who had kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
As we invite Ian up to pray, I'll just pray for him. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the words you've given Ian, and I ask that you open our eyes, minds and ears to the words that you want us to hear. And we thank you for Ian and all he does. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Gillian and Carol. Last Monday morning in prayers, we read about Jesus' visit to his hometown of Nazareth in Matthew 13. And the locals all ask, where on earth did he get all this wisdom and miraculous powers? Because we know him, we know his family. And Matthew and Mark both comment that Jesus did not do many miracles there in his hometown because of their lack of faith and their unbelief. And in today's readings, that's again the central challenge. Do you have faith in God? Do you believe in Jesus? As we start the final fortnight of Lent, also called Passiontide, because of the focus on Jesus' passion or suffering on the cross, it's a good question, isn't it? Can we lift our eyes from what seems like a failure, a tragedy in the eyes of the world, a sad end for a good man? Can we lift our eyes to trust in God, to have faith in what he is doing, to see in Christ's passion the ultimate victory, the winning of salvation, the triumph of sin over evil? In the first reading that Gillian read, Ezekiel, he's been exiled away to Babylon, along with the best classes of people from Israel. And his calling is to comfort them, to keep hope alive amongst the expats, to remind them that God is there with them, even in Babylon, and that one day God will bring them back home to Israel. The people get a bit despondent, just as perhaps we do today when people have a go at Christians and so on. But Ezekiel is given this daytime vision of the valley of dry bones. Can these bones live? God asks. Ezekiel very wisely replies, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. I don't know, maybe Ezekiel himself is feeling a bit low and lacking in faith. And then God asks him to use his gift, to do what he's good at, to follow his calling. Prophesy, prophesy to these bones. And God sort of walks him through, talks him through a process, which sounds actually very like the story of creation, how God made Adam in the beginning, the first human being, bones, tendons, flesh, skin, and finally the breath of life. And they stand up on their feet, a vast army. And then God reveals to Ezekiel what this is all about. These bones, says God, are the whole house of Israel. And they feel that their hope is gone. It's almost as if they've died. But God says he will open their graves and bring them up from the grave and bring them back to the land of Israel that meant so much to them. Eretz Yisrael, they called it. And then you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it. And the people's trust in God will be restored. And actually, that's God's purpose, his aim. It's not the change in circumstances. It's not to bring the people back to Israel, but it's the restored relationship. God really wants to bring them back to faith and trust in God. That's the aim. So the question really is how we can keep our faith strong, how we can keep our relationship with God fresh and lively and vibrant. In our New Testament reading that Carol read for us, thank you for doing the whole thing, Carol, that's great. Everyone's puzzled. Why is Jesus delaying? Why is he hanging about? He's heard that Lazarus is sick. Why doesn't he go and heal him? Jesus prophesies this sickness will not end in death. Lord, you've got it wrong. The one you love is dying. Don't you see? Now, actually, Jesus is seeing further still, beyond death, to the raising to life again. And along the way, Jesus speaks of death as falling asleep. It's a common metaphor for death in the New Testament. Funnily enough, when you look in the Old Testament, you can't find it there. It's not there at all. And the disciples seem a bit confused by the phrase. So it seems like this is something Jesus has introduced. This is his description of death. And I actually think it's very helpful because we all fall asleep every day. And often it's something we look forward to. It's a pleasant and healthy experience. And in fact, it's a bit like a small taste of eternity, because it seems only a moment later that we wake and it's morning and we have to change all the clocks. But if someone's sitting beside us, if they were keeping watch through the night, long hours pass slowly. So when we fall asleep, it's a little bit like we've escaped from time into eternity. And Jesus is implying that dying is a bit like that for believers. We fall asleep in Christ, and it seems only a moment later when we awake and it's morning, and we are resurrected to eternal life with Jesus. And yet, for our friends and family who remain, years and centuries pass over our graves. Do you remember Jesus said to the thief beside him on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And yet St. Peter wrote in his letter, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." So falling asleep in Christ is a good description of dying for Christians. Well, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He was properly dead, no question, and beginning to smell a bit off. That's actually why Jews and Muslims in hot countries require burial within 24 hours. Jesus was delaying to the point of absurdity for the greater glory of God. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And that's what we call the gift of faith. Being in tune with God's Spirit and just knowing what to ask for in prayer, and God will do it. Martha, well, she has faith in Jesus, but she doesn't know quite how it's going to work out. "I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask," she says. And Jesus issues a little challenge to her faith. "Your brother will rise again." That's my title for today. Notice again Jesus' gift of faith. He's not saying, "Let's ask God for this," or "I do hope your brother will rise again," or "I'm going to pray for this." He just says, "Your brother will rise again." And the question is back to Martha. Will she jump onto God's bandwagon, God's purpose with Jesus, or not? Well, she prevaricates a bit, like the Samaritan woman at the well when she's challenged. And in the process, we learn a little bit about common Jewish beliefs in Jesus' day. Martha says, "Well, I know that he will rise again at the resurrection, at the last day." So in other words, Martha and others believed in a general resurrection when God would raise everyone to eternal life. But Jesus means something a little bit different, something much more immediate. Does she believe that Jesus can raise Lazarus today, here and now? She's pressed for an answer. She says, "Yes, yes, yes, of course I believe that you're the Messiah, Lord, yes." And then she goes to fetch her sister Mary and tells her Jesus is calling for her. Jesus wants a community of faith around him, and so should we. If we spend our time with people who don't believe, people who are skeptical about Jesus and cynical about God, then our faith will have a hard time, a struggle. But if we encourage each other's faith, as Tim and others have been doing this morning, then our trust in God will grow. That's why we want to share our faith with others. That's why we want to share what God's been doing in our lives. "Jesus wept" is famous as the shortest verse in the Bible. Actually, it's even become a proverbial saying for when things are really bad, hasn't it? Is that blasphemy? Well, it depends if you really mean it and are praying to God for help, or if you're just using it as a swear word and taking God's name in vain. The Jews responded, "See how he loved him." In other words, Jesus didn't delay because he didn't care. No, he didn't. Often when we read that Jesus was deeply moved, the Greek actually suggests that he might have been enraged by sin and death, as if its presence offends God. We're deceived if we imagine that he doesn't care. This is his creation, and an artist seeing his work damaged or destroyed is rightly offended. Well, Jesus comes to the tomb, calls for the stone to be removed. He overrules all their objections, and he commands Lazarus to come out. As in Ezekiel, there are echoes here of creation, when God spoke the word and man came into being, when God breathed and man came to life. "Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Unbind him." Lazarus has been freed from the prison of death and decay. And many of the Jews, it says, who saw what Jesus had done, put their faith in him. As well they might, because this is an astonishing act of God, authenticating Jesus' ministry and his claims to be the chosen Messiah. And we? Do we believe? "Your brother will rise again." I wonder how might we have responded in Martha's place. In our services, we say the creed, don't we? On the third day, he rose again. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Well, many of us have loved ones who've died. Do we believe they will rise again? This is a truly distinctive belief of Christians because Jesus rose again. The world says RIP, rest in peace, but only Christians add and rise in glory. How do we keep our faith alive? Not like those dry bones in Ezekiel, but like a lively house of Israel, an army standing on its feet. How do we keep our faith in God fresh, our trust in Jesus lively and vibrant? Your brother will rise again.